Anthony McGowan's skills as an author span all age ranges and many genres. By turns deadly serious and side-splittingly funny, his books never shy away from life's harsh realities. This is particularly true of his young adult fiction, in which he's addressed such issues as brain tumours and knife crime. Rook, his latest novel, is no exception, and it's shortlisted for this year's Silip Carnegie Medal, which recognises the best in children's and young adult fiction. He came into the studios to tell me more. Anthony McGowan, welcome to Read On.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. So far.
I'll try and keep it that way. Many congratulations on being shortlisted for the Silip Carnegie Medal this year. Rook is a fantastically compact book. I know it's aimed at children and young adults who find reading difficult, either because of dyslexia or whatever. Could you tell us a little bit more about the story?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's a third, not quite in a trilogy, but a third in a series of linked books about two main characters, who are Nicky and Kenny. Now, Nicky's the younger brother, but his older brother has learning difficulties. So Nicky's been kind of his carer over the course of the three books. And in the very first one, their family's in a very, very bad place. Their mother's abandoned them when they were quite little. Their father's basically fallen apart. So Nicky really has this huge responsibility to look after the family and keep it together. By the time the Rooks come along, the family's a little bit more together. Things are going slightly better, but still life is full of problems for young people.
As anybody who's familiar with your work will recognise, it blends humour with the harsh realities of life without actually detracting from the impact of either.
Yeah, well, the other two books are rather more sombre. Brock, the first one, Pike is the second one. Their life is so difficult, basically it's all about getting through. By the stage of Rook, things are a little bit easier, as I said, so there's more of a space for humour. So there's a bit of what I would term body comedy in it before things again turn a little bit darker. But throughout my career, I've tried to do those two things of mixing comedy with more serious themes.
Certainly the themes are very serious in Rook. Bullying, there's fractured families, and yet throughout it all there's a compassion which actually comes very much from caring for the injured Rook that the two boys find.
Yeah, I suppose it is like a symbol of the of the healing power of love. But in the two earlier books, sorry, I keep hopping back to them. Nicky has been, I suppose, genuinely heroic, that he's had this huge burden and he's coped amazingly well. I think in Rook, I wanted to show him almost breaking under the pressure. it's all been in a way too much for him because he's got, as well as the problems of bullying, he's also in love for the first time, which, for a teenager, could be quite a traumatic experience based on my experiences. For the first time in this, he does kind of slightly go off the rails, Nicky. But then I wanted to show him then having a kind of healing process. Also, in the previous books, although he's been Kenny's carer in a sense, he's become, I suppose, dependent on Kenny as well. So it's a completely mutual relationship. And in Rook, Kenny's becoming a bit more independent. And so there's a slight gap there in Nicky's life as well. So he almost needs Kenny as much as Kenny needs him.
And I think certainly in the character of Kenny, you deal with the frustration of disability very sensitively and in a way that I think any of us who have a disability will recognise the frustration that of Kenny's very slow reading, which you express as like driving in a traffic jam.
Yeah, well, I suppose that what I wanted to avoid was having too obviously my adult perspective on disability. So I wanted to see Kenny's problems through the eyes of Nicky. So in one of the earlier books, he describes Nicky as Kenny as being simple, which is obviously a term that many adults would find in some way offensive. But for Nicky, it sums up his brother, who sees things in a simple, straightforward way. So the whole time I was trying to get into Nicky's head rather than my adult guardian reading kind of perspective. So often, yeah, Nicky does find Kenny frustrating and annoying. And, apart from anything else, they are siblings, and siblings don't always get on that well. But there is that undercurrent of love which helps to heal those fractures.
You also write in the book that life is all about stories, and it's very much, we all want to tell our own stories. other people might not necessarily enjoy them, but they are our stories.
Absolutely, yes. It's been a theme throughout all the books. Often, you know, Nicky literally tells Kenny stories a lot of the time. And often that's a theme that goes through the books. So again, it's stories of how we understand our lives, how we understand ourselves.
This set of books that Brooke is the third in the series of is published by Barrington Stoke, who specialise in publishing books for those who find reading difficult.
Yeah.
And they make some adaptations to the print copies, don't they?
Yes, so the physical object they produce, as well as everything else, is really beautiful. They make a very, very lovely book. But so the paper's very thick and creamy, and it's lovely to sign, I've got to say. But yes, so there are issues with dyslexia around just the difficulty in physically seeing the text on the page. So the font is very carefully chosen, the colour of the paper is very carefully chosen to make it easy for people with dyslexia to read. So that's a physical aspect of it, but also in terms of the style. I mean, before I started writing for Barrington Stoke, my style was quite ornate. You know, I was very much a look how clever I am kind of writer. And I was forced to pare down that style for Barrington Stoke. And I'm sure it made me actually a better writer. You know, I really did focus on what a story is really about, on those characters and the plot and getting that story told, rather than saying, look what a dab hand at metaphor I am. So I think those two things together make them more accessible. But it's not just for dyslexics. It's also just the teenagers who haven't read very much. And so the fact they're quite short means it's certain quite short chapters. It means you have that satisfaction of finishing each chapter and then finishing the book, which is quite important. But also I hope that they would appeal to the general teenage reader.
And I think actually to adult readers as well. I mean, certainly it's not very often that I will listen to a synthetic voice book and be absolutely gripped from beginning to end. It's a very impactful story and very concisely told. It has the impact of a fable in some ways. And I think part of that is actually because it has that timeless storytelling which involves animals and humans on the same page.
Mm. That was always part of my idea right from the very beginning. All three books involve Nicky and Kenny, the lives are entwined with nature. In the first book, they find a badger that's been seriously hurt by badger baiters. In the second book, there's a kind of fish element. In the third book, it's a rook. Actually, a librarian pointed out a while ago that it almost seems like in three books, the first one is an earth book, the second one is a water book, and this one is an air book, which I hadn't kind of thought about it. I think it's a really kind of brilliant insight into them. I see what you mean about the kind of fable aspect too. But that's also partly just to do with the geography of the books, which is the geography of the small town in Yorkshire where I was brought up. It's a place called Sherburn in Elmet. Anyone who's been there, lived there, would recognise it instantly from the books. But it's a former kind of, it was a mine, it's in the middle of the Selby coalfield, so it had a mining aspect to it, like a slightly, almost an industrial element. There were kind of, there was a big bacon processing factory there, but it's also very close to the fields and the woods of the West Riding of Yorkshire. So my life growing up was this kind of weird liminal space, but, you know, half urban, half rural, and I wanted to kind of capture that again in the books, how they're that you know, that it's not as if they don't live in the countryside, but almost because of that the countryside is more important. It's just it's a short walk away into that sort of different world.
Are you planning another book in the series? Is Kenny? Are we going to find out whether whether Kenny gets the girl?
Well, you know, I didn't. I always thought that, I don't know, something about a trilogy, about three, that seems complete. But I've started writing a fourth because I thought I should bring their mother back from Canada. She's they kind of rediscover her, that she's been living in Canada. So I wanted a slight reunion there, but right at the end of it. But I'm writing one called Lark at the moment, which involves them getting lost on the North Yorkshire moors and nearly dying. but I had no plans to, it came somehow, just spontaneously. That happens sometimes when you're a writer. You don't always, things don't always happen quite as you plan them.
You're no stranger to being shortlisted for and winning literary prizes. Are you excited about the Carnegie Medal?
Oh, hugely excited. The Carnegie is, it's a very special award, in partly because it's made of solid gold. Did you know that? No, well, that's always not the most important thing. But it's always had a massively high reputation among writers. It's decided by incredible librarians who really know their stuff. So among writers, it's the one that we all really crave. And even being shortlisted is a genuine, massive, massive honour. So, no, I was colossally excited about it.
And if you were to win, you will, of course, receive a Braille copy of your own book.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That would be a beautiful thing to have.
Clearly, you feel very strongly about making books accessible to readers. Mm. Are you an audiobook fan yourself?
Oh, I am. It's probably now my main way of consuming books because I'm a cyclist, so I always have an audiobook going on in my head while I'm cycling around, which is probably not entirely safe. But so, yep, I never don't have an audiobook on the go. And I think it is. It's an incredible way to absorb a text. As you know better than I do, the reader is so important. And when you find a good audiobook reader, it's one of the most intimate relationships you could possibly have, I think, in the world of arts, that reader right in your head there.
And you're going to do a reading for us yourself, aren't you, today?
Happy to.
Fantastic. Well, this is Anthony McGowan reading Rook, the book that has been shortlisted for the 2018 Philip Carnegie Medal.
Basically, Nicky, who has been fairly heroic throughout the series, he's cracking up a bit under the strain of love and bullying, I suppose, and he's gone storming off to his bedroom, having a big row with his father and his brother. I share my room with Kenny, so I knew he'd show up in the end. Dad says you're a silly bugger, but not to mind, as you've had a bad day, he said, as he put his Spider-Man pyjamas on. He'd had them forever, and they only came up halfway up his legs, but every time Dad tried to chuck them out, Kenny got them back from the bin. I don't think he even liked Spider-Man, it was just the pyjamas. I didn't say anything, so Kenny carried on. Rookie ate more worms, and he got better for a while, and he moved about in his box. Then he got poorly again. Dad said he might have got germs in him, and that he should have some medicine to kill the germs. Dad said if we waited, you'd come down to get some dinner and play with Rookie, but you didn't. Shut up, Kenny, I said. I'm trying to sleep. I'd forgotten I was hungry, but it's too late now. Okay, Kenny said. Tell me a story. I used to read to Kenny a lot when we were little. Books from the library because we didn't have any books in the house, except one about fishing, which my mum had given my dad for Christmas before she went away. Kenny loved it when I read to him, but he liked it even more when I made stuff up. He called that a story by mouth. I think what he liked about the story by mouth was that it could go on forever, unlike a book which comes to an end. He was always afraid that the book would be finished before he was ready. No, I said, just go to sleep. I can't unless you tell me a story. Well, I'm not in the mood. If you don't tell me a story, I'm going to do humming. Kenny sometimes did a sort of tuneless humming, which he said was to help him sleep, but I think he knew it was so irritating I'd give in and tell him a story. He was right, usually. But tonight I was too annoyed and upset. If I told him a good story, he'd want me to go on for hours. So I thought my only chance of getting this crappy day over and done with was to tell him a really rubbish one. All right then, I said, be quiet and I'll get started. Sometimes you can hear someone smile, a sound like someone carefully taking the wrapping off a present. Then there was a scratching at the door. Kenny got out of bed and let Tina in. She always slept on his bed, even though it meant he had a dog's bum in his face all night. What's it called? Kenny asked when he was back in bed with Tina settled next to him. It's called Rook. Is it about Rookie? Yeah, sure, maybe, whatever. Right, so it was this Rook, and he was a young un, not long out of the nest, so he knew sod all about staying alive. Then one day it got killed by a sparrowhawk, because that's what sometimes happens in nature. The strong ones kill the weak ones, and then they eat them. That's not right, Kenny said. Shut up. But it didn't eat him. Your story's wrong. Rookie's alive. Fine, then. This Rook didn't get eaten straight away, because two stupid lads thought they could save it. So it lived for a couple of days in pain. Then it died, and it went in the bin. And that proves you shouldn't mess with the law of nature, because you can't change it. And it would have been better for the Rook if it just died and been eaten by the sparrowhawk. The end. I looked over at Kenny. His face was all screwed up, and he had his fingers in his ears. I felt rotten. I'd never done this before. Hurting Kenny, I mean. Hurting him on purpose. I hated myself. Maybe that's why I did it, to give myself a good reason to hate myself. I'd found a black cave of hate and crawled into it, like a ghoul from the churchyard crawling into an old grave. I lay awake until I heard Kenny's breathing become slow and regular. Then I heard my dad's heavy, weary tread on the stairs. And then I waited a while longer. I don't know how long, because time is weird when you're lying awake. and then I crept down to the kitchen and peered into Rookie's box. Kenny had put twigs and leaves and dried grass in there for him. I think he tried to make it look like a nest. "Hey there, Rookie," I said. The rook looked up at me, and I looked down at him. He was a mess, feathers missing from his back and breast. I stroked him, and this time he didn't fight it. I scooped him up and sat on the kitchen floor with him on my lap. He stayed there without struggling, the way a wild animal only would if it was dying. I didn't cry so much for the bird as for me and for Kenny and my dad. But yeah, I cried a bit for Rookie too.
That was fantastic. Thank you very much. Maybe you should become a talking book narrator.
I haven't got the skills. It's an actor's job, not a writer's, I'm afraid.
Well, Anthony McGowan, best of luck with the Philip Carnegie. And thank you so much for coming in and being a guest on Read On.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you.
Many of Anthony's books are available in a range of accessible formats from the RNIB Library. For more information, go to the website rniblibrary.com or call the helpline on 0303 123 9999 and select option 5. And great news! Anthony so enjoyed reading that passage for us that he's now volunteered to narrate not just Rook, but Pike and Brock too, exclusively for the RNIB Talking Books Library